Hey, and welcome to the 5 and 5 Live. This is Tony Burke, and this is where we have a bit of a look at what were the best and worst moments in the House of Representatives. I've been sending out the 5 and 5 email for about 10 years at the end of every parliamentary sitting week from the House of Reps. And last week, for the first time, we had a podcast, which we thought it might be the only one. But Sally Situ carried the show for me. And so now we are here for a second week. So thank you for listening last week as well. And we are joined today by Anne Alley. Anne, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tony. And I've got to say, my husband looks forward to your 5 and 5 every single week. It is legendary.
Do you reckon we can get him to the podcast? Will he listen to us?
He might. I will make sure of it, actually. Let's say that's a guarantee.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. Let's start with what we think were the best moments of this week. Anne, where would you kick off?
Well, if I had to kick off somewhere, I think the absolute best moment of the week, Tony, was the constitutional alteration bill passing the House on Tuesday.
It was a pretty special moment.
It was absolutely amazing. And wasn't the result incredible too? A huge majority there, 121 fours and 25 noes. So shame on those 25s.
Yeah, and I was surprised. I know technically the Libs had said, they needed some people at the third read to vote against, but they actually voted against it at other points as well where they didn't technically need to participate in that booklet thing that they're talking about. So,
well, it just goes to show they really don't know what they're doing in that place.
And the Libs, I think you caught who the Libs were. I'd missed
it. Yeah, I picked at least three Liberals who voted against it. Ian Goodenough, who holds the seat of Moore in my beautiful state of Western Australia. Alex Hawke, no real surprise there. And Henry Pike, for those listening, if you don't know who Henry Pike is, you're forgiven. He's the new member for Bowman in his very first term.
There was a turn of phrase that the PM had this week as well, which I just loved, where it was talking about Angus Taylor. And it wasn't delivered with any anger or any malice, but he just said, yeah, lightweight but dense. And it brought a lot of things together.
I'm trying to imagine what a plank of wood that's lightweight but dense might look like, and all I keep seeing is Angus Taylor's face. So, yeah, that's going to stay with me forever, that one.
Now, you're the Minister for Early Childhood Education.
Yes.
So you work really closely with Jason Clare as
Absolutely.
Minister for Education, and he had a couple of questions come to him this week. I think they were both from the crossbench.
They were.
About higher education.
Oh, look, I think Jason had an amazing week this week. He, on Wednesday, you got a question from the crossbench about HEX indexation, and it was an absolute mic drop moment.
In the member for Wentworth's electorate, 67% of young people aged 24 to 34 have a uni degree. But in the member for Rankin's electorate, it's only 19%. In the member for Melbourne's electorate, 69% of young adults have a university degree. But in the member for Longman's electorate, it's only 16%. And in the member for North Sydney's electorate, 71.3% of young adults have a university degree. But in the member for Spencer's electorate, it's only 15%. There is a cost to going to university, but what is the cost of those
Leader
kids missing
of the
out?
Greens.
I don't want us to be a country where your chances in life depend on how rich your parents are, where you live, or the colour of your skin.
Now, he repeated that wonderful performance today, actually, Thursday.
Yeah, happened again.
When he was asked the question again. So two mic drop moments there for Jason Clare. Well done.
And just that passion of, look, if you're going to invest more money into higher education as he wants to, where would you target? And
That's
it's about
right.
trying to fix that disparity of who gets in the door.
And a better spend of taxpayer money is actually getting more Indigenous young people into universities, more people from poorer backgrounds and low socioeconomic backgrounds into universities. And, you know, I know the transformational impacts that going to university can have, as do many of us in Labor. It's a real Labor value to do that. So I thought he was on fire and, huge kudos to Jason this week.
Look, there are a couple of other moments that happened today, and we're recording this on Thursday afternoon straight after the final question time of the week, but where when the question was asked, the opposition were like filled with, they thought they had us, and then the hitbacks were extraordinary. So There was one where David Coleman asked Michelle Rowland.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? It's actually really, you know, when you're sitting there and you watch them, you know, all the way they deflate when we come back. And today Michelle Rowland was asked about online gambling, and she, without any notes, she stood there and she gave one of the best answers of the day, and certainly one of the best answers of the week, where she talked about what we have done in the harm minimisation space, where we're looking at gambling-like simulations in children's games, which is of a particular interest to me as early childhood education minister, but also prohibiting the use of credit cards for online gaming. Things that the Liberal government for 9 years in office didn't even want to touch with a barge pole.
Yeah,
and then they asked the question today, and she just gave it to him straight.
You could see she David Coleman. That
yeah,
when you say deflating, he was...
Yeah, he was totally a shrinking violet.
We had a similar thing right at the start today. Andrew Hastie, also from your state, stood up with that normal, I am about to become leader of the entire universe demeanour that Andrew can have, and got stuck in about the fact that in the budget there were some areas of defence where there'd been cuts to make sure that we could afford to do the other things. And the PM gets up and starts not just quoting what some Liberal has said, but quoting the exact words of Andrew Hastie, who just asked the question.
It was beautiful.
I've grabbed the PM's notes. I've got the quote here. As the Assistant Defence Minister, I saw a lot of waste. We're not arguing that there should be no cuts. We just want to make sure that these are done in a considered way. The exact opposite,
of
everything
of
he just said.
And I was watching Andrew Hastie's face then as well. And like, yeah, I just wonder what goes through their minds when we stand up and just, you know, knock back everything that they've said and throw this back at them.
Yeah, you sort of wonder, is it, I wish I hadn't asked that, or is it just complete oblivion as to what's happening around them?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I keep thinking the people who do their tactics must be geniuses.
If there are people who do their tactics.
Yeah, maybe not.
The other
maybe
question.
Not. Maybe
okay,
not.
Let's move on to the worst of the week. You want to kick off?
Well, I wanted to talk about some of their doubling down on The Voice. And, you know, we had that terrible speech or contribution by Peter Dutton last week talking about re-racialising Australia as if, you know, at some point in our history we had stopped racialising Australia. But listening to the concluding speeches this week and then that vote where some of the Liberals, as I mentioned earlier, voted along with the Nats to not even let Australians have their say. Not even let Australians have their say in a referendum. I thought that was pretty bad.
It's while we're in the worst, but I should still say, I still imagine how good it will feel the day after the referendum if we get this done.
Yeah, I think it's not a matter of if,
yeah.
It's a matter of when it happens.
Yeah.
When it happens.
And just reminding people that it's about recognition and it's about listening, because the simplicity of that is what the other side don't want people to think about at all.
That's right. They just want to confuse people and, you know, the fear-mongering has gone beyond the pale, really.
Look, there was another one which, you know, like what we dealt with in the best, only now we're in the worst, but the same thing where ridiculous questions asked and you get the perfect response. Darren Chester on Tuesday had claimed that the PM had made a particular quote about forestry. And so he does this thing about, you know, haven't you misled the Australian people? And after the PM gave an answer, he just leaned over to me and said, can you just get the exact quote of what I said last week so I can see the words back? Because I don't think this is right. And so I went across. His office went out, printed off, brought it in. And the entire case that the opposition was making was untrue.
So false.
So in order to argue that the PM had misled, they had to misrepresent the PM. And there's this lovely line where the PM just says, there's this thing called Hansard.
Yeah, you'd think they know that by now.
There is a written record of what's
there. You'd think they'd know by now that there's something called a Hansard and you can simply check the Hansard. But, yeah, that was a really golden moment. And there were a number of moments there where they were asking, as we said, they were asking those questions. But I loved Angus Taylor's question about Vegemite.
On Tuesday. we don't often get Vegemite in the Parliament.
We don't get Vegemite in the Parliament. And, you know, so he mixed up the annual and monthly inflation for Vegemite, yogurt, and peanut butter. Yeah, like the three food groups right there. Mixed them up.
But yeah, he was claiming that in 1 month alone, this has been the price increase. And you heard it, you thought, in 1 month? But it was the annual figures for everything.
Exactly.
I guess according to Angus, if everything annual becomes monthly, he gets a birthday party every 30 days.
I think maybe he was thinking of that question over breakfast, and just prompted him to talk about Vegemite, yogurt and peanut butter.
I don't want his breakfast then.
No. I don't think anybody does.
Chris Bowen's had a good week.
He has. Chris is great for one-liners. Like if you listen, it's hard to hear Chris because the opposition just go off whenever he gets up to speak. But if you listen closely, there are so many one-liners.
It can be like when the radio station just gets a bit off and all the static's there, and the amount of noise every time he gets up.
Yes, exactly. And he did get a question about energy, and the question was about why is it that energy price relief is working.
Mr Speaker, the member for Fairfax went on to say, so there's no evidence here that the intervention itself was the thing that got prices down. No evidence that the intervention itself was the thing that got prices down. This creates a considerable mystery. What was it? Was it the coronation, Mr Speaker? Was it the final episode of Succession, perhaps? No spoilers. Was it Sweden winning the Eurovision Song Contest? Was it the honourable member's videos from Fukushima and Hiroshima promoting nuclear energy? What was it that could have got energy prices down over the last 6 months, Mr Speaker? What possibly could it have been? What possibly could it have been? Perhaps it was the intervention designed to do just that, which honourable members opposite opposed with every bit of energy they could muster.
I suspect, knowing Chris and his love of all things American, that entire answer might have just been written so that he could get a Succession reference in.
I think so too, but how many pop culture references can you fit into one answer? That was
That's
brilliant.
True. Okay, well, we're not here next week in terms of Parliament sitting. We're back the week after, but we like to summarise everything with what you get to pick a song and I get to pick a song for what you think's a decent piece of music for people to listen to as a tribute to the week. So you get to go first.
Okay. Well, you know, Tony, that I'm a big Hilltop Hoods fan. So
you
I had
are
to go a Hilltop
fanatic
Hoods song.
Might be the term.
That's pretty accurate, actually. And given the way that the coalition keeps trying to land blows but keeps failing, I'm going to say that they are going down the hard road.
Good choice. Good choice. For myself, the Creative Australia bill went through this week, which I was really excited about.
Oh, it's an
about.
Amazing bill. Well done.
And I was listening to a lot of the speeches that different people were making, and one of your fellow West Australian colleagues, one of the new members, Zanita Mascarenhas, when she was talking, she gave reference to methyl ethyl, which I reckon is the first time we've had methyl ethyl in Hansard. And so we thought we'd introduce him to the podcast as well. And given the number of things the opposition said that weren't right, methyl ethyl have a song featuring Stella Donnelly called Proof. And I reckon
I love it.
That's one for this week.
Excellent.
And thank you for joining. I hope we can get you back sometime. I hope our podcast lasts long enough for us to get you back again.
I'm sure it will, Tony. Thank you so much for having me. And, I'll see you in a week's time.
Okay. See you then. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Please like, respond, interact in whatever way with the podcast, or in a positive and friendly way with the podcast on whatever platform you're on. And hopefully we have enough of you listening for us to be back again for week 3 in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks heaps. See ya.